pray. I want you to take your Bibles and turn to Isaiah chapter 41. That's where eventually I am going to get. But I want to give an introduction, especially for folks via technology. In 2015, my voice quit working, and it broke my heart. You know, folks, it doesn't help a whole lot as far as evangelism and my music ministry if I can't talk. Does that make sense to you people? Do I need to explain that any deeper? You know, when you live by your mouth and your mouth doesn't function, folks, it can be a very frustrating thing to say the least. Well, what happened was I went to every doctor known to mankind to try to fix what was broken. And you know what they all told me? I don't know. I don't have a clue. But finally, I got to someone who fixed what was broken. But before that happened, I had people all the time say, "Are you okay, Brother Maynard? Are you depressed?" You know what? I don't think I was ever depressed, but I was discouraged. I mean, what am I going to do now? I mean, a guy at that time of life, let alone this time, I'm not going to go out and dig ditches. Are you people with me? I mean, that's just not a possibility when you get to certain stages of life. And I was really very prayerful and very searching, to say the least. God, am I done? Is there nothing else you want to use me for as far as the call you've placed upon my life? Well, eventually, of course, I got to a doctor who recognized and what was wrong and fixed what was broken. I had cupped vocal cords, and they did a procedure. Praise the Lord, back in the saddle again. Now, I sing like a girl now. I used to have that deep baritone voice, you know, that lovely voice like your pastor. Now I sound like Tiny Tim, you know, with a cold. But folks, listen, does anybody remember Tiny Tim? One of the scariest creatures ever to be on the face of the planet here. But what happened was, folks, in the midst of this, I had a poor mic time. It was Sunday morning. Have you ever had one of these? You know, it's Sunday morning. You know you need to get out of bed, quit making excuses, and not just come for church. You should be there for Sunday school. Well, I was doing the poor mic thing. I just wanted to do that, find a hole and a big rock, crawl in hole, pull rock over the top. Anybody been there besides me? Okay. So what happened was, I said, "Maynard, you hypocritical, lazy, worthless human being. Get up, do what's right." Okay. You know what I had, guys? Girls, look at me. I had a poochy lip. I would, you remember from this morning. So I went to Sunday school, and guess what happened? I got exactly what I needed. See, that's really what happens. The devil doesn't want you to get what you need. And what you need is more preaching from this pulpit, more instruction in the Word of God. But you get in the habit of telling God no instead of yes. Then you get ripped off of what God knows you need to be more like Him, to do more for Him. What was the Sunday school teacher teaching on that Sunday morning? This verse. Look down with me if you would, please. It says in Isaiah 41:10, "Fear thou not, for I am with thee. Be not dismayed, for I am thy God. I will strengthen thee. Yea, I will help thee. Yea, I will uphold thee with the right hand of my righteousness." Can I have an amen from the crowd? Now, folks, listen, I know there are a lot of verses to memorize. Kids are doing a great job with that. But, folks, we adults don't do so good in that area. Well, Brother Maynard, I memorize it and I forget it. Let me help you. That's why we have review, okay? And it's like a new Christmas present every time you relearn the verse that you learned 13 other times. But, folks, we need to make ourselves hide the Word of God in our heart that we might not sin against God. And we're going to preach on that somewhat tomorrow. So what happened was, I'd have people ask me, "Are you just ready to wave an angry fist in God's face or just throw in the towel of ministry and endeavor?" I said, "No." And here's my phrase. I'd encourage you to write this down, because you may be smooth sailing right now, but there's going to come some potholes. Do you hear me? Whether it's physically, financially, or with relationships. And here's the response I gave over and over and over again. How can you be upset when you know it's God's will for your life? Does God make mistakes, kids? No. God never makes any mistake at any time. How can you be upset when you know it's God's will for your life? I don't care, again, if it's some disease or some, you know, just devastating circumstance in your life or some relationship you just can hardly stand or bear. How can you be upset when you know it's God's will for your life? He's allowing this stuff to happen. Why? To make you more like Him. Again, to do more for Him. Now, in those times of not really being excited about life in general, you need what we call rally verses. How's this for a rally verse? Romans 8:37 says, nay, in all these things, what things? Anything. In all things, but read the context of the passage later on. In all these things, we are more than conquerors through Him that loved us. Kids, you know what that word literally means? Super conqueror. We are people of victory and shouldn't walk around like we're the losers. How about this statement? We need not fear life, death, or things present or things to come because Jesus Christ loves us and gives us the victory. How about this for encouragement? In verse 31, it says, if God be for us, you can finish it, can't you? Who can be against us? Even the devil himself. Listen, kids, the devil can't. He's not as powerful as your God. You can't whoop the devil, but remember the illustration we gave? You'll be strong in the Lord and the power of His might. We had Pastor come up and we had Logan there. This was not real smart when Logan did it in himself, right? But he was real smart in his choosing when he allowed the battles to be won through the power and working of God. Let me read the verse. John 4:4, greater is He that is in you than he that is in the world. Now, look at me, kids. This is not to make you arrogant or appear, conceited. No, you should be confident and bold with whatever God orders up to be His will for your life. We need to approach this life with confidence based in not what we can do, but the power and wherewithal of Almighty God. Again, how many Christians, don't look around the room, I don't want you to point fingers, how many people walk around like a sad Sally or a sad Sam? They just have no countenance of, we're on the winning team! Now, I'm not a real sports guy. I like to watch the, World Series, maybe, or the playoffs, but I don't watch that stuff most of the time. But I did enjoy watching the Nuggets. As they clean clock in the NBA playoffs, I dislike anybody that beats Miami. Are y'all with me here? It's kind of like beating LeBron James and the Lakers. It just makes me happy. But what happened was, when they got done with their victory, they were walking around going, oh, we should have let the other guys win. Yeah, I know we won, but it's really no big deal. No, they're cranked, they're excited. Shouldn't we be that way? Have you read the whole book? We are the winning team. And we don't have to wait till the end of our time, in judgment and all, to be celebrating victory in Jesus, my Savior forever. That's available every day as we stand before the God who's greater than anybody, anything, at all time. But how do we get to the point of being in the loser category instead of the winner category? Well, it's this thing called fear. God says, fear not. But in the flesh, we get in the wrong category and we wonder why this Christian stuff doesn't work. This is a good stat to write somewhere in your Bible. 365 times it says in the Word of God, fear not. Because, folks, this fear stuff will slow you down, if not stop you, in your faithfulness for the Lord Jesus Christ. And my favorite, and it's probably yours, my favorite fear not verse is here again in chapter 41 of Isaiah and verse 10. Let me read it again. Fear thou not, for I am with thee. Be not dismayed, for I am your God. This is not a maybe, people. He says, I will strengthen thee. Yea, I will help thee. Yea, I will uphold thee with the right hand of my righteousness. But folks, what's going to happen if you're not smart enough, spiritual-minded enough to buy that right stuff up? Let me give you three things here concerning fear. Fear can paralyze you and make you stop in your tracks or have you go back instead of forward. In other words, no progress. And boy, we see a lot of Christians today, kind of stuck in a pothole of, again, falling to the flesh instead of proceeding faithfully for the will of God. Here's another one. Fear can cause you to miss opportunities of fulfillment to a given responsibility, secular or sacred. Maybe some of you folks here in church faced that this week. Well, I've never done that sort of thing. Well, I've never been, but you came anyway. And you said, and I heard it from about everybody here, hey, Pastor, what else do you need done? What else can we do? And you stepped out into the fear not category and said, here am I, Lord, send me. Here's number three. Fear can cause you to live in defeat instead of victory. And then again, miss out on what God can bring into your life and set forth through your life. Now, I'm going to give you an outline here tonight. It's not an original with me. If you study Isaiah 41:10, I mean, most of the time you're going to end up with an outline just like this. Three things, again, just like grounded, growing, and grateful. Let me encourage you to write this down by Isaiah chapter 41 and verse 10. We're going to talk about tonight the presence of God, the power of God, and then we'll deal with the promises of our God. Now, the first one, the presence of God. Don't you love this? He's an ever-present help. Aren't you glad, boys and girls, that God doesn't take vacations? Aren't you? That He's on the clock 24/7 on your behalf and on mine. And one of my favorite promises of the Word of God, and I've got this underscored in my Bible, but also in my heart, He says He will never, never, people, never leave you nor forsake you. Then, in the responsibilities we dodge like no other command in the Word of God, that thing, look at me, called the Great Commission. How many Christians are soul winners today? Not a whole bunch from my observation. How many understand this is a bottom line reason God left us here on the earth to seek and to save the lost? But why don't we go forward in faithfulness? Because you're in the wrong category. You've chosen to trust in your flesh and what you can do instead of what God promises He'll fulfill as you just fear not and go forth by faith, obeying God's will for your life and for mine. Matthew 28:20 says this. It says, lo, I am with you, here's the word, always. I don't care how bad you feel, how bleak and black and dark the world or circumstances are around you. He says, lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the world, amen. That's one of those always forever promises, folks, that we need to buy up, not just academically, but again, being a part of our spiritual DNA. Kids, can I ask you a question? Have you ever gone to the dentist before? Yes. Scary place to go. Johnny, sit up, buddy. You have bad posture. Sit up, bud. Sit up, bud. Well, let me tell you, when we were growing up, it was one of the most frightening places to go. Because, you know, today they have these gloves. They used to not wear gloves when they worked on our mouths. Ew. And I was a little guy. And, you know I have a big mouth. Okay, you with me? I understand. Almost as big as Pastor Matt's. Y'all with me? Oh, is he so loud? But I remember as a little kid, this guy had Andre the Giant hands. Does anybody kind of have that haunting memory? And did his hands smell like ooh? And it just horrible. I can still kind of smell the stench of his hand. And he'd be in there going, ah, scared me to death. But how comforting it was when I had my mommy with me. Yeah, or my dad was with me. You know, I don't care if you're going to the dentist, the doctor, you're doing some recital or whatever. How comforting is it when mom and dad are right there to help you and encourage you and just help you be, you know, get it done like it needs to get done. You have your Heavenly Father promising 24 hours a day, I am with you. So what's the right category? Fear not. Why? Because God is always there for you. Can I have an amen, please? That was so sad. The crowd watching via technology does not know anybody's in the room. Isn't that a blessing? Could I have an amen, people?
Amen.
Thank you, children, for being here tonight. The problem comes when you start listening to yourself instead of trusting the Lord. You want your faith to make a difference? Then get in the category of fear not and understand God is an ever-present help for you. Number two, write her down. The power of God. Look back at the verse. He says, be not dismayed. Now, folks watching via technology, I've been quizzing the kids all through this operation of vacation Bible school and stuff. Kids, what does it mean, be not dismayed? Well, it's hard to get it done if you don't know what it is. You want to guess what it is? Come on, you're smart cookies. What does be not dismayed mean? Don't get all worked up over this. Don't be a nervous wreck. God, through you, not you, but remember, be strong in the Lord and the power of His might, not just to defeat the devil, but to function faithfully to glorify and honor God. Fear not, because you have the power of God at your available every turn of every choice in ministry endeavor. It means don't get all worked up, consumed with worry. Let me do something for the old people here. Look at me, old people. Making a mountain out of a molehill. How many times have we heard that statement, but do we apply it to our own worrisome ways? How about this monster? The what if monster? What if it? What, doesn't it just eat your lunch and your supper and snacks in between, people? We get caught up in this worrisome way of fear instead of trusting and obeying our God. God says, hey, I am thy God. And folks, that again means Elohim, speaks of God's greatness, His divine power as creator, the sovereign ruler, the one and only supreme being, absolute power over everything. Go sit down. You're not going anywhere. You can wait. We'll be done here pretty quick. Thank you very much. So look at me. Look at me. You know what God's doing? Hey, attention. Look at me. I got this. I got this. Well, you understand the pressure. No, look at me. Keep your eyes on me. I got this. Because God's in control whether you acknowledge it or not. God can handle whatever He's ordered up for your life, or it wouldn't be ordered up in your life. You just got to get out of the wrong category, trust in your flesh and that fear mindset, and buy up the presence and the power of your God. Here's a question, kids. Answer this. You'll know the answer. Can God be trusted? Yes or no?
Yes.
Adults, what do you think? Does He ever lie?
No.
Then why aren't you going forward in faithfulness? Because again, you won't on purpose rely on the presence and the power of God. You want to be encouraged like I am? Let's go to the last point here, and then we'll head for the house. The last one concerns the promises of God. God will strengthen you. It says, be strong in the Lord and the power of His might. We quoted that. That's Ephesians 6:10. Now, let's take time to do this. Turn to, you kids don't turn, okay, because it'd take too long for you to find it. But adults, would you turn to Psalm? Let's go first of all to Psalm 27. Would you go there with Mr. Maynard, please? All you kids, just listen carefully. But I want the adults to find that passage sooner than later. Psalm 27, and I'm going to start reading in verse 1 here. Psalm 27 and verse 1. Here's what it says. Listen very carefully, kids. You don't have your Bible, so listen to this a minute. The Lord is my light, my salvation. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is the strength of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid? Then it says down in verse 14, wait on the Lord. Be of good courage. And He, if He has time to mess with you, is that what it says? No, there's a promise again. He shall strengthen thine heart. But your part is to wait. What does wait mean? Faith, trust, dependence. Quit leaning on your own understanding. What you feel or think can or should be done through this life that belongs to Him. No, wait upon your God. Look at Psalm 28. This is just really powerful preaching. If you look down with me, please, at verses 7 and 8. It says, the Lord is my strength, my shield, my heart trusted in Him. I am helped, therefore my heart greatly rejoiceth, and with my song will I praise Him. Look at verse 8. It says, the Lord is their strength. He's talking about the people of God. And He is the saving strength of His anointed. Then go down to Psalm 29. Let me just read one verse here. In verse 11 it says, the Lord will give strength unto His people. Kids, look at me. Who be the people of God? Say, we be the people. Can you all say that? We be the people. Let me hear it, adults. We be the people. So take this personal. Let this again be applied to your thinking and your choices of life. It says, the Lord will give strength unto His people. The Lord will bless His people with peace. So why are you a nervous wreck? Because you're in the wrong category. You're trying to figure it out, work it out, make it happen instead of yielding to what God knows is needed and what God knows best, not just for you, but to do what we're here to do. And that's glorify and honor His name. So our text, if you look back with me, I'm done there. So go back to Isaiah chapter 41 and let me close this out. He says in our text here, I will strengthen you. Don't we kind of do this along the way? Well, that's for pastor. Or that's for them. I don't deserve this kind of ever-present help and wherewithal. Kids, look at me. None of us do. You hear me? We don't deserve anything good. The only thing we really deserve is hell for all eternity. All of us were worthless nothings. That hurts my self-esteem. Praise God. Victory in Jesus. We're all zeros with a ring rubbed out apart from God's intervening power and wherewithal. That may stir and flip your bonnet, someone watching via technology. But until you come to that point of humility, you'll try to do what only God can do. And then you'll wonder why, again, your Christian life is not productive. In Psalm 46 and verse 1, it says, God will be a very present help. Now, I didn't preach this last time, I don't think. I think I preached out of 1 Kings chapter 5. But I love to preach on Sunday nights, I may do this sometime, the story of Asa. Now, I don't have time to exposit this for time's sake, but let me read you something. You don't need to turn. 2 Chronicles chapter 14. It says, Asa cried unto the Lord his God. Why? Because the enemy was coming down to put a hurting on him. They were, look at me, kids. They were doomed as doom can be. Can you say that with Mr. Maynard? They were doomed as doom can be because they were outnumbered. Man, they were going to just be dead meat. They were going to be taken out. But listen to the trust and obey of this leader called Asa. It says, Asa cried unto the Lord his God and said, Lord, listen very carefully. It is nothing with thee to help. Oh, nobody knows my troubles. Nobody knows my partial doesn't even fit anymore. I tell you, my gizzard hurts every time I breathe. And don't we just go on and think God's, he's going to fix what's wrong with somebody else, but he can't handle the problems I'm facing. What are you doing? Again, you're thinking according to the flesh. You're putting yourself in the loser category. No, fear not. God orders it up. He'll give you what it takes to be faithful, to honor and please Him. So the phrase I've underscored in this story for me is, it is nothing with thee to help. Listen to it as it goes on. Whether with many or them that have no power. Then humbly, help us, O Lord our God, for we rest on thee. And in thy name we go against this multitude. O Lord, thou art our God. Let not man prevail against thee. The battle's the Lord, kids. Sit back, kids. Sit back. Johnny, sit back. See, if not anything else, with you being wiggle wormish, you know, you're distracting the people beside you and even the folks behind you. Remember what I said? Guard your testimony. Even comes when you're listening to a message and you may be bored out of your gourd. You with me? Attention, attention. You may be distracted by something over on the wall instead of looking at the handsome preacher that's up before you. I understand why you wouldn't look at Pastor Austin, but gaze your eyes upon this presentation of... Don't throw up. Y'all with me? Don't let your flesh win. Guard your testimony and look at me. Stay focused. I'm almost done. So again, the battle is the Lord's. And He says, I will help. And He's there to even help you. And what a beautiful picture we have in this passage. God says again, I will uphold thee with the right hand of my righteousness. Is there anything better? Anyone or anything more powerful than the hand of God? And again, He says, hey, I got this. Trust me. Stay out of the fear category. Buy up my promises and fear not. How do we conquer fear? Through the presence, power, and promises of our God. Remember how we started? If God be for us, who can be against us? Now, since I was here, my friend, Patch the Pirate, Ron Hamilton, went home to be with Jesus. Now, not long before that, my other friend, his father-in-law, Frank Garlock, went home to be with Jesus. And I got to be with both of them before they passed away. I was doing meetings down in Florida, and I stopped by to see Ron, and Frank was in the hospital, got to go be with him, and that was a privilege. But I'm going to close this out with a song that I hope you're familiar with from Patch the Pirate, one of my favorites. It goes like this. How can I fear Jesus is near? He ever watches over me. Worries all cease. He gives me peace. How can I fear with Jesus? Oh, folks, get out of that hole with the rock over the top. Get your eyes off your flesh. Look unto Jesus. Folks, there's work to be done. There's people to be impacted. But if you stay in the losers category, you're going to come up empty as far as productivity and fruit of righteous endeavor to, again, use to glorify and honor God. Don't get in the fear category. Stay where you're going to experience and enjoy victory in Jesus, my Savior forever, in that category of fear not. Would you bow your heads and hearts? Kids, you close your eyes and bow your head too. Mr. Maynard's watching you, so I want you to be obedient. Bow your head, close your eyes. Nobody's going to come grab you. Do it for me, Dana. The head's bowed and eyes closed. Heavenly Father, we thank you and praise you, Lord, for this opportunity of reminder. Lord, for these adults, I didn't tell them anything they don't already know. Lord, we just don't buy it up. We know the verses. But boy, it's hard to put this stuff into daily application, especially when all these problems come on us like a major Mack truck smacking up the side of our lives. But Lord, I don't care how deep, how hurtful, how difficult the circumstances, situations may be. Lord, you're still faithful. Your promises are ever true. And God, you will give us through the power of your working what it takes to be a testimony of right representation for your will and working. Lord, thank you again for the faithfulness of these folks. Lord, if there happens to be someone watching via technology, they just need to get saved. Quit playing church, just not go to the point of loving God, but knowing Jesus as personal Savior. Oh God, save their soul even tonight. But God, once we receive you, help us to trust and obey, for there's no other way to be happy in Jesus, but to trust and obey. We praise you, Lord. We thank you, for it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Pastor, won't you come?